We acknowledge the Wadawurrung of the Kulin Nation as the traditional custodians of the land on which much of the history we cover in this series occurs. Indigenous history and traditions stretch back more than 60,000 years in Australia, and what little you'll hear of this in our series reflects that our ancestors often deliberately displaced or killed Indigenous people and suppressed their cultures. We pay our respects to the Wadawurrung elders, past, future, and emerging.
So hi, I'm Dr. David Waldron from Federation University, and welcome to Tales from Rat City. This is the third part of our Moonlight saga, Moonlight at Dawn. Last time, if you recall, Captain Moonlight had been released from Pentridge after the business with the Mount Edgerton mine, and so begins our new episode. But perhaps before we start, we might have a little bit of a chat about our experiences. I mean, one of the things I find really interesting here in this episode is how Moonlight, like the experience of many ex-cons, and perhaps something that, you know, is discussed by theorists on the prison system, particularly most famously Michel Foucault in Discipline and Punish, that the prison system itself becomes a factory through which you make criminals. He's being released, but he needs to find work, but he has a criminal record attached. He wants to change the system. He's experienced what it's like to be in jail and the issues of rehabilitation. Yet, nonetheless, he's also hounded by police. He's finding it hard to make work. The connections he's had, he's been socialised with, are all career criminals.
You're listening to Katrina Hill now. Just on that, though, the other thing I thought was interesting about Captain Moonlight was that, yes, there is this aspect that he's kind of pushed into to going back to a life of crime. And in my heart, I felt like he kind of didn't want to. But it was probably the only thing he knew, and there was no system of support. But on the other hand, I think also he liked it a bit, you know. He loved the drama, and he was a bit of a showman, so there's that as well.
I agree. This is Shannon Nichols, by the way. I agree. I think Captain Moonlight, or Scott, of course, is this... He has this cult of personality. He's so charismatic, and he's so good at getting people to follow him and trust him and do whatever he says. And you'll even see through the course of this episode, even people who were his victims, if you will, they even come to trust him to some degree and respect him because he is just so, so charismatic.
Yeah, we all know people like that, those charismatic individuals, even as his people, his colleagues back when he was a Methodist lay preacher said that he was a bullshit artist. He could convince people to believe all these dramatic stories about them. Some people started to become sus about whether they were true, but he was a charismatic, one might even argue, narcissist who loved the attention, loved the drama. He chose the name Moonlight after contemporary Irish rebels fighting against English Revolution, even though he was an Irish Protestant. So, you know, he's making a point to create a mystique and sense of identity around that.
There's even something to be said, I think, for the fact that Andrew George Scott, he was wealthy. He was born wealthy. And then over time, he lost his wealth. And we don't mention that too much in previous episodes. But I think it is integral to the sort of person he was, that he was accustomed to a nicer style of living. And he also had a great education. He was an engineer. He was a well-educated engineer. And that led into the way that It led into the way that he behaved, and perhaps was the reason that he kept turning to crime. Another reason he kept turning to crime, because he wanted to pad out his life to be a little bit more high class, I suppose.
Yeah, it's interesting too, drawing on my love of Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes often has the line, you know, a man was educated at Eton, bring the gun. You know, the notion that being educated makes him more dangerous, in that he does think laterally, he is aware of people's psychology, he takes this into account, that he thinks carefully about the robberies and the performances that he makes.
So, before you start, this would be a good time to pause, go and grab yourself a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and sit back, and we hope you enjoy this next episode.
Ladies and gentlemen of Ballarat, it is your assistance I ask. Pressure your politicians. Speak in the Houses of Power, for the penal establishments of Australia must be thoroughly examined in a full inquiry. As I have shown you today, Pentridge is no reformatory. It is a curse. To conclude, I will speak just a few words to the young here tonight. Crime is a mistake. Independent of every moral law, the remits of crime are misery, loss of self-respect, and parents' tears. Young people, if you wish to be happy, hear me. Let me serve as your example. I have been tried for an offence by judge and jury. I have suffered. I have been discharged from jail. And that fact is now always flung in my face. We cannot find honest work and find ourselves hounded by the police and newspapers. I implore for your assistance, Ballarat. The inquiry into our penal system must go ahead. Thank you. Have you seen a talk like that before, Rogan?
I've only been to places like this to pick pockets.
Ah, just listen to that crowd. We could do this all day.
You had them by the ears. Some were crying when you talked about young people.
Tears are good, James, but action is better. As long as we are keeping the heat up on the government for reform.
I had Williams, Rogan and Bennett out counting the crowd.
Almost 300, Captain.
Men, women, even some children.
Only men matter, Williams. Women and children don't vote. No matter. The women can speak to their husbands, write to their representative. I'll put that in the next speech.
More of your bookings have been cancelled.
Then I'll speak in the air.
And we'll be having air for supper. We need money.
The speaking tour brings in enough for now. Rogan, what's our next booking?
Captain...
It's what we need to talk about.
Mr. Scott, excellent speech and a strong turnout. May I take comment for the Courier?
Certainly, Mr. Clark. The people of Ballarat today spoke with one voice, and that voice decried the shameful and corrupt state of our prisons. The government must launch an inquiry without delay. I am delighted to see the people behind me in this urgent and essential reform.
Thank you. Your comments to the young were most moving.
I find the plight of the young men leaving our prisons an unending frustration. Tarred for life by their time, how can we expect them to take an honest calling? I have hired a few such men to assist me with my speaking tour as I guide and protect them from falling back to the path of crime.
I see. Yet many speaking halls have been cancelling your bookings, not wanting to be associated with you and your gang. Will you return to bushrangering?
The police and government are feeling the heat of my reform campaign and are trying to injure me. The halls were happy to take our bookings right up until the recent scandalous attempts to besmirch my name. I have served my time and I'm making a decent living. Have I earned the right not to have the past forever shoved in my face? We are not criminals.
Yes, quite. Well, to those attempts then. The police report you were seen following the actor Mr. Bates shortly before his murder?
Some weeks ago, during the speaking tour, I happened to stay in the same hotel as this man, who I have never met and have no sensible reason to wish dead. This is our only connection. This claim can be added to the pile of those plied by the police and newspapers who wish to link me with every unsolved crime in Melbourne. My only interest is exposing the abuses of the penal department.
I see. And Mr. Scott, what about the Lancefield bank robbery?
James and I were dragged in for questioning, but the matter was quickly dismissed when they actually looked at the facts. Such as, for one, that on the very night of the crime I was given a speech in Melbourne.
Finally, what of the matter of you and your lads trying to pass a pistol to one of your Pentridge chums still on the inside?
More fabrication! I am interested in speaking about reform. Let me say a few words about the systematic abuses found
in... The prosecutor evidently thought there was enough to warrant a charge.
Johnson himself admitted he was pressured by the wardens to implicate me. The magistrate dismissed the charges. Not, mind you, until after we had had to cancel a week of speaking appointments to return to Melbourne and appear in court.
The court found Johnson's testimony uncompelling.
Mr. Clark, the man had only 3 months left to serve. What would be gained trying to break him out? All these absurd charges are proof perfect that perjury is no crime in the police force. They would prefer that those who suffer behind Pentridge's walls never return to their rightful, free lives or find honest work. Keeps them in business.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. You know, it's nothing personal, right? 6 months ago, Ned Kelly and his gang held up the Gerilderie police, took their uniforms, and then robbed the whole town dressed as cops. The police have spent a fortune hunting them. They're embarrassed. Need a big arrest. Bushranger stories sell like gold, but the Kelly gang are in hiding. You fit the bill, and people want bushrangers. Good luck with the rest of your speaking tour.
Nothing. Not even Melbourne?
All your bookings have been cancelled.
They're going to lock us up again, just so they can crow about it in the papers.
Well, it's a credit to a policeman to convict an innocent man. Any muff can pot a guilty one.
Captain, don't forget our plan. We only need to get a little bit together for a boat.
We'll find something. Something legal. Pentridge casts too long a shadow here. We can make a go of it in New South Wales.
What if the police try to arrest us again?
We'll not go unarmed. There's only so much a reasonable man can take. Hey there. Anyone home? You there.
Hey. What do you want?
Is this want a badgery? We're here for work.
You're probably out of luck, but I'll fetch the manager.
Baines!
I thought they were always hiring.
I'll handle it.
You've interrupted my dinner.
These boys are looking for work.
Sir, a pleasure to meet you. Allow me to introduce James Nesbitt, Thomas Rogan, Thomas Williams, Guy Renicky, and Graham Bennett. And I am David Smith. We've come to Wantabadgery Station, hearing you a hiring hands. Now, these lads are strong, healthy...
We've no need.
Sir, now, we've walked a week from Melbourne with little more than the clothes on our back, on word that the fine gentleman at the biggest and best reputed farming station this side of Sydney is looking for skilled hands. Plenty of other stations we've walked by have waved us on, with promise that the great Wantabadgery concern is always hiring. My men and I, we are hard workers. Put us to any job. I myself am an educated man, an engineer by trade. Can excavate, design, construct...
Well, they're wrong. Change of management. We don't take itinerants.
We're not... Just a few days, sir. We could see that any little task about the place, nothing too small for us. We'd be right back on our way to Sydney. The boys haven't eaten in 2 days. Even just a square meal for a day's work.
This operation is not a charity. Lyndon! These men are not welcome on the property. Don't interrupt me again for beggars and tramps.
You bastard. Mate, could we shelter somewhere out of the rain tonight? Just a hut or a shed? The men are cold, and it's a long walk back to Wagga on an empty stomach.
Sorry, boys. The manager... I can't. There's a thick of trees down the road. You could camp under there tonight.
Are we near Sydney? Will we turn back for Melbourne?
Don't be stupid, Gus. We're almost there.
The captain will have a plan.
Bennett, it's a week of walking either way. We'll not make Melbourne or Sydney without food. We've no money left, and nowhere around here wants to hire a bunch of dirty, starving men.
I'm so hungry. So cold.
Have some backbone, man. You're like a kid.
I'm no kid! I'm 18!
Sure, Renicky. Sure.
Nesbitt, you don't outrun Pentridge. He's got to see.
I know, Rogan. I know. I'll talk to him.
Raised on an estate. Military education. Engineer, trained priest, bastard, couldn't count to 10 on his own 2 hands. In there, sitting by a fire, belly full, we're out to freeze in the rain, in the dark, sold our own clothes to get food, begged and borrowed. That bastard speak to me like that.
Captain, It's a long way yet to Sydney, and the lads are hungry.
More land than I could survey in a day, and not even a spare hut for the night.
We've got our plan, Andrew. We just need a little bit, and we can go.
What does he expect us to do?
Whatever you want to do, I am with you, Andrew.
I did not want to play this role. I had sworn off this. What can we do? People want bush rangers.
There is no honest work for Pentridge men.
If we're gonna do it, we do it my way. With honour. Ready your pistols. Put a watch on the house. We'll strike when the farmhands are out.
Wantabadgery Station, County Clarendon, District of Gundagai, the scene of the latest bushranging episode in New South Wales, is situated 24 miles in an almost easterly direction from Wagga Wagga, and about 27 miles from Gundagai, the property of Mr. C. F. J. MacDonald, who resides on the station, and with him is Mr. Baines as manager. The homestead is comprised of the owner's house, a massive stone structure, neatly and elegantly furnished, and all the appurtenances of a well-appointed English homestead. The house fronts the far-famed Murrumbidgee, and is built on a most picturesque site. Between the house and the river is an open plain, covered at present with a growth of most luxuriant grass. In addition to this, the late fine season has brought forth a plethora of Scotch thistles, which have attained the extraordinary height of nearly 5 feet. Behind the residences are a series of undulating ridges covered with yellow box, which, added to a magnificent orchard planted with walnut, peach, apple, plum, and every variety of fruit trees, immediately in front of the homestead, and which cover 2 acres of ground, complete a picture in every way resembling the homesteads ever loved by the English landowner. It was late afternoon on this peaceful scene on November 15, 1879, that the bushrangers burst in with the appalling cry known to every law-loving subject. Bail up.
Bail up!
Bail up!
Bail up!
Bail up!
Bail
up!
Hold it!
Bail up!
Where are you there?
Don't shoot! We're unarmed!
Cease fire! Cease fire!
God almighty, Renicky, you'll blow your own foot off. Give me that.
Everyone in the house, come outside. Slowly and unarmed, or your lives will be forfeit.
We're no threat to you, sirs. Take what you need.
Williams, keep your gun trained on them.
Just the three of them here, Captain.
Where is Baines?
He's been out checking the workers. He should be back any minute.
If you were lying, if we find someone is hiding in wait for us, I'll kill you myself.
Just me, Mr. and Mrs. Miles. That's the cook and the groom, sir. The rest of the farmhands are all out working. And Mr. MacDonald, the owner, he's in town.
All right. You have now all been stuck up. But count yourselves lucky. We are not violent-type bushrangers, unless we need to be. You'll play right by me. And on my word, as a gentleman, my men will see you treated fairly. There will be no dishonourable conduct. Williams, Bennett, secure the prisoners in that laundry shed. Leave them with their valuables. We're not criminals.
Come along with us. You'll be let out for your ration of tobacco and an hour's walk in the yard tomorrow.
Aye, and in 3 months you'll graduate to hard labour in Division C.
Lads, come with me to the back gate. We'll make short work of Baines when he returns.
Lyndon! Lyndon!
Bail up! Hands to the sky! We have you surrounded.
What the devil?
You've 6 men drawn on you. Do not move.
Here he is. Here he is. Remember this puny, cabbage-hearted face? Remember this sneer from last night? Baines, isn't it? You low dog of a man.
You're the itinerants from last night looking for work. Turned bushranger now, huh?
Since you insulted me and my men last night, your life is forfeit. Get on your knees! You'll thank me for being too well bred to beat the lights out of an unarmed man.
thank me? Thank me!
Thank you.
But I will give you a chance to prove your honor. I demand satisfaction for your damned insults and injuries. Right here and now, pick up that knife or the gun, and we'll have it out like men. Take your pick. You take your damned pick and face me!
I'll not play your bloody game.
Coward! Lock him up with the others. I have it in for you, Baines. You watch yourself. Men, the estate is ours. Gather up any arms you find about the place. Break open the stores. We drink and feast.
We did it!
This is how it should be.
Clean, fed, a real bed. Do you think the owner minds we're in his bed?
I'm sure Mr. McDonald is enjoying the guest room. How many others arrived last night?
I think there's about 10 in that laundry shed by now. Williams left them with plenty of water, but they will need some food.
The men can be left on warden duties today. You and I shall inspect the grounds, and I'll take you hunting for pheasant.
Well, you can call me Lord Nesbitt of Wanton Badgery Manor.
The place is ours, Lord Nesbitt. We can live as we please.
Rise and shine. On rise and shine, captain's orders. Rouse those gams. Hop, hop. Exercise time.
You're the cook, right?
I am. Mrs. Miles.
Righto, Mrs. Miles. We need breakfast, and the rest of the prisoners need feeding. I'm to escort you to the kitchen.
Mr. McDonald, thank you kindly for the use of your estate. The cook is organising our breakfast, and you'll have some time out in the yard to stretch your legs.
That is most gracious of you.
Thank you, sir. It is only the cruelty of your manager, Baines, that's forced our hand here. Oh, and Mr. McDonald?
Yes?
We shall be dining on pheasant tonight. I would be honoured if you might join me.
Grubs up, grubs up, grab a cup, line up. Nice watch. Gold chain, no less. Hand that over.
Mail for Wanton Badgery. Hello? What's going on here? Where's Baines?
Get down off that horse right now or I'll blow your bloody brains out.
Take whatever you need. I've got nothing on me, except the mail.
Grab the reins. Pull him off his horse.
Hello. This is the man who gave us that bag of flour when we walked through Clarendon, was it?
Oh, you were looking for work.
Oh, so it was. Sorry for the hard landing, mate. Let me help you up.
You want some grub, mate?
Boss! Hey, boss! There's another prisoner!
Right this way, Mr. McDonald. Your breakfast is waiting. How many prisoners now?
16, Captain.
God damn it, Bennett. Return that man's watch. We're not taking their valuables.
What?
Oh, come on, Captain.
You heard me. If I hear any harm or dishonour comes to these prisoners, I'll shoot the offender myself.
Boy. Hey, boy.
What?
This is bad work, boy. Bad, bad work to be mixed up in. You are a...
Baines! Bloody tamper with my men, will you? You dare open your vile mouth again, and I'll cut out your damn tongue and hang you from the tree. Here, let me show you. See that branch? Imagine a rope around your damn neck. Bennett, bring me a rope.
Captain, here, I've got the rifles. Let's go find those pheasants.
Don't think I will hesitate, Baines, if you so much as look at me again.
It was nothing, Captain.
I'll be back for you, Baines. I'll be the last thing you see.
Chief Inspector Medley?
Yes? Come in.
We've had someone drop by the station and report they've heard gunplay at Wantabadgery Station. They think it's some drunken shearers kicking up a row. I intend to join four mounted constables to take a look.
I don't think there's any need for that. The constables alone should awe a bunch of rowdy shearers into civility.
Just so, Inspector Medley. Only I would prefer to accompany the men. It is 3 hours' ride from reinforcements, and matters may be worse than reported. The witness only heard the gunshots and came here. It could be bushrangers, even the Kelly gang.
Oh, Vizard. You're not commanding troops in the Crimean anymore. Don't be so jumpy. If I sent you out every time we heard reports of gunshots or roughhousing drunk farmhands on remote stations, you'd never see Wagger again. Besides, there's nothing much to rob at a sheep station. What kind of bushranger would pick a place like that?
You'll be the beater. You'll head along there, beating the bush and shouting. I'll stay here and shoot anything you flush out. Make sure to stay on that side of me so I have a clear shot. After a bit, we can swap and you can try shooting.
You're the better shot, Andrew. You keep the gun. Are you still wanting to go through with our plan? You and me?
This is a beautiful place. A man could die happy here.
The police will come. Why are we still here? Let's take whatever we can get and go. Today. If we can get a boat, we can outrun them all. And make for Fiji, where we can live like this. Like lords. Every day.
We have everything we need here for now. You and the men can leave anytime you want. I'll lead the police on a chase. Throw them off and meet you in Sydney.
Andrew, you know I'm by your side, no matter what. Baines would never have talked me into anything. You can trust me.
Baines wasn't about you. I have to play the real bushranger. I have to keep everyone in line, the prisoners and our boys. Trust me, I am doing all this to protect you and them. I can't abide the thought of you facing the noose for any of this. If you get caught, James, say you were scared. Say Captain Moonlight forced you into it.
I will never betray you. I'm with you. For life.
Just remember that if you get caught. We stay here just one more night. We go together tomorrow. For now, enjoy it while it lasts.
Hey! Whoa, look, there's another!
Whoa! You gotta stay back! Out of the firing line! You could have gotten shot.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Never mind. That's dinner in the bag. Bennett! Take these birds to the cook. Get her and the servants preparing dinner.
Captain! Welcome back. Hey, nice shooting. Since you've been gone, a few more locals and farmhands have come by. We checked them for weapons and locked them all in together. So that's 20 prisoners now. Look, what are we still doing here, Captain? We should take everything we can carry of value and ride out.
You wanted to play this game and now you want to quit. Williams, bring me that mail boy. The nearest station is in Wagga, half a day from here. Who's going to get word to them? We'll ride out, round up everyone left in the station, take whatever arms we find. That'll buy us another night. We can leave tomorrow. Right now, this is the best place we can be.
Captain, look, I've been talking with some of the boys, and I think we don't need more time here. We should take anything we can get and go.
I've given you my orders. Beautiful horse.
Huh? Oh. Well, she's not fully broken in. One of the stockmen was training her.
Hey there. Shh. Stay, damn you. Stay. If this horse goes round me again when I'm trying to mount her, I'll bloody shoot her dead! Right.
Bloody hell! She was just skittish.
I can't abide defiance, Rogan. There's plenty more horses.
Here you are, Captain. The mail boy.
What's your name?
David, Weir.
You know the houses around here, David?
Yes. The superintendent's house is down the road on the left. Once we reach Wagga Road, there's a hotel. The Australian Arms Hotel. Everyone else who lives in the area, well, you've got them locked up there.
Good. Each place we visit, I want you to go in and tell them that armed and dangerous men have seized Wantabadgery Station. They are to throw out any guns they might have in the place and come out, hands held high. James, with me. The rest of you, stay here.
We have to plan for what's coming. He's changed.
Captain's done good by us. We got everything we wanted.
We can't stay here forever, Bennett. There's 20 men in that shed. They might overpower us if they got it in their heads. And the police are bound to show.
He can outthink and outshoot the police.
That's not it. It's like he isn't trying to get away. I don't think he cares to, but I'm not bloody going down with him.
They're coming back. All right. We go tomorrow. With or without the captain. Hell, he's brought a crowd.
More prisoners, lads. And plenty of good guns. Another 10 for the lockup.
Captain, we have 35 prisoners now. They'll barely all fit. Let's rob them, tie them up and go.
I've bought us more time. You want me to make them fit too?
You know what I want.
Rogan, bring me Baines.
Andrew.
The captain would like to see you, Mr. Baines.
Mr. Baines, you have insulted me, you have insulted my men. You have refused to give me satisfaction. You have attempted to subvert my men. I am going to make an example of you in front of the good people of Wantabadgery. Men, secure him with saddle straps and hang a rope over that tree branch. I have never hanged a man in New South Wales.
Oh, my God. No.
Don't get off.
Oh, please. Stop.
No.
You do what you will, you bastard. You have 5 minutes. Make your peace with God, for you shall meet him shortly.
You damn your soul with this!
You think you can find space for the 35, Rogan?
Yes. Yes, Captain.
All right. All right. Enough! Toss him back in the laundry. He has learned his lesson.
Thank you, sir. I thank you.
I have dinner plans. If you need any further help handling things, I will be inside.
Sergeant Vizard, you can't just barge...
Tell him. Tell him what you just told me.
So I was staying at the Australian Arms Hotel. A group of armed men came by, called out on everyone in the place to come out. I hid under me bed. They rounded them up and walked them off towards Wantabadgery.
Damn! How many of them were there?
I'm not sure, Inspector. I was hiding until they left. Then I jumped on me horse and came right here. 5, maybe more?
Our boys are heading blind into serious trouble. I'm riding out now.
Go! I'll telegraph every station in the area. Gundagai are closest now. Maybe they can get there in time.
I find I must ask Mr. Scott about the screaming earlier.
There was some unpleasantness earlier, but I have resolved it. You can rest assured, Mr. McDonald. I have strictly forbidden my men to insult anyone, and requested that should such be done, I might be immediately informed of the fact, so I might shoot the man at fault. I do this to prevent any woman being maltreated, which, of course, I would not allow for even one moment.
Thank you, Mr.
Moonlight will do.
I guess so. We had seen your name about the papers recently.
They'll publish any rumour. I'd not put much stock in them. But shall we agree, for the sake of a pleasant meal, to put the topic of bushranging aside?
Yes, that seems best, Mr. Moonlight. A pheasant is excellent. Good shooting.
Thank you, Mr. MacDonald. The quality of the bird is a compliment to the quality of your magnificent holdings.
It is the least of our bounty. Our mutton and beef regularly win prizes for their quality.
Then let us see for ourselves.
The second course, sirs.
Please, take what's left here out to my men and the prisoners.
There's nothing to fear, Mrs. Miles. The man is a gentleman. If we are to have beef, then what are the French reds?
Yes, sir.
Speaking of your grounds, I must admit, I find your grounds most fascinating. I took the opportunity to survey a little during our walk today. I wonder if you've explored the possibility of an irrigation system, you know, drawing water from the Murrumbidgee. May I show you a sketch of my idea? I am a trained engineer and surveyor, though my circumstances might lead you to think otherwise. As you see, with a single steam pumping engine of at least 60 horsepower, you could draw water even to your topmost paddocks.
Remarkable. At what cost?
I have become very familiar with the installation and operation of these things through my time in the goldfields, and am confident I could oversee the job for you. You may be concerned at the expense, but let me assure you, in the wake of the gold rush, these engines are more affordable than ever before. I have suggested some costings here, if you see.
My, that is... Well, I'd be happy to consider this.
Now, to the matter of your geology. I would wonder if you have had the rocky boundary here properly surveyed. You realise these quartz deposits could indicate a lead. Certainly, gold has been found in the area. I've surveyed the bluffs, but we need more time to determine if deposits could be found. You see, gold leaves certain geological clues, and I could hunt these out for you.
A man of your expertise could have... How have you come to this? may I keep these plans?
Certainly, yes. I have asked the question myself many times since my wrongful conviction, but I have discovered it is the vile nature of our prisons and police in this colony which forever mark a man, despite his time served, despite his penance, his forbearance and hard work, mark him a criminal and prevent him returning to the society of decent men. I have seen firsthand the harvest of misery reaped as successive waves of young men are released, only to return again and again to Pentridge, their second home. I do what I can to keep the young men with me safe.
Ye are most passionate on this topic, sir.
On my release, I swore to dedicate my life to seeing these places reformed. Our prisons are little more than corrupt colleges where young men are taught the arts of the criminal professions by the tenured lifers. You would not believe the kind of arbitrary punishments that occur in these prisons. The overcrowding, the violence. Yes?
Captain, we think someone is moving around outside.
Come in. Well, this has been delightful, Mr. MacDonald. But now you will have to excuse me. I suggest you return to your room and get under the bed.
It's got to be the police!
Get away from the window. Stay down, out of sight. There's only a few of them. Get your guns, go out the back door and crawl through the bush until you're alongside them. Then open fire. I'll distract them from the front.
Andrew, be careful.
My audience are calling.
He's armed!
Stand, in the name of the Queen. Drop your arms.
Damned if I will.
Get behind the trees, men! Don't make yourself a target!
I'm right here! Come on!
Sir, there's more armed men crawling through the brush to our left.
They flanked us! We can't shelter here!
Damn! This is no drunken shearers fight! This is an armed gang!
They're between us and the horses!
It's no good! We'll be shot down if we stay here! Retreat, men! Back on foot!
They're running! Captain, they're running!
You goddamn cowards! Stand and face me!
We got their horses!
They'll be back! Let's go!
Those cowards! I was firing over their heads!
I think we're close to Wantabadgery.
We've made good time from Gundagai.
Let us just hope we've come fast enough to help the Wagga lads, Constable Bowen. Gunshots! Come on, men! Whoa! Whoa! Who's there?
Sergeant Carroll. It's Headley from Wagga.
Thank God your men are unharmed. We've ridden hard from Gundagai since your captain telegraphed to say the station had been seized by bushrangers.
I count 7 heavily armed men. They opened fire as soon as saw us. We were lucky to escape.
Fear not, Constable. Every station in the area is sending men. This time, we'll have the numbers to put an end to it.
Captain, the police are closing in all around us.
We'll be gunned down. We should surrender.
Don't be a coward, Williams.
That's the spirit, Renicky. Men, prepare your pistols and get a good position. Then you'll see what these cowards are made of.
Yes, sir.
You weren't even shooting at them.
Don't worry. This time, I'll draw their attention. I'll take a fast horse and ride hard into the bush. That should give you all a chance to escape.
And putting yourself right into their fire. Again.
We'll meet in Sydney.
There's far more of them out there now. Are you trying to get killed?
I'm trying to protect you. They'll never leave me be. If I'm going to have to play their damn game, then at least it's going to end on my terms.
Andrew. No.
You've got a chance. Maybe you all can get away from here. Live out free lives. Let me do this thing. Let me do it my way and go with dignity and not hanging from a rope.
To the armed men in the farmhouse, drop your arms, come out and surrender in the name of the Queen.
Please, Andrew, you don't have to.
Come and fight! Open fire! Arms!
Bowen! Constable Bowen's been shot!
I got one!
Captain! They've hit Renicky! They're gonna kill us all! What do we do, Captain?
Andrew! Wait!
James! No! Ceasefire! Ceasefire! We surrender! We surrender!
Ceasefire! They're surrendering! Ceasefire all, damn it!
No! No! James! James!
Bowen! They've hit Ed Bowen!
I'm so sorry! James, I'm so sorry! It was supposed to hit me, not you! I'll see you soon, James. I'll be with you again.
During the shootout, Angus Gus Renicky, James Nesbitt, and Constable Edward Bowen were killed. Andrew Scott and Graham Bennett were arrested immediately. Thomas Rogan was found hiding under a bed. All are charged with the murder of Constable Bowen. If found guilty, they will face death by hanging. The trial lasts several days. On the afternoon of the final day, Andrew Scott stands to give his statement. Thomas Rogan, Thomas Williams and Graham Bennett watch from the dock.
We tried to get work, but could not. And we fasted, day after day. We had been without food for 48 hours when we reached Wantabadgery. Misery and hunger produced despair, and in one wild hour we proved how much the wretched dare. At Wantabadgery, I courted death. I was not so important as my friends were. One, as good a friend as ever lived, with as soft a heart and as kind a man. He died in my arms. If a victim is to suffer, I should like to do so and hold these lads innocent. I alone commanded. These boys, they did as I bid them. But though not guilty of the blood of anybody, I am ready to suffer for their sake and answer for breaking the laws of the country. Look at these boys. Think before you give your verdict and do not cut them off before they have arrived at manhood. My power, my leadership, their guilt was snapped when they cried surrender. From that time, they were innocent. If the law has been so broken that it must be avenged with a human life, then let me be the victim and spare these youths. God created them for something nobler than the gallows. I have said all, your worship.
Gentlemen of the jury, I shall now give my summation and direction. The law holds everyone responsible for his actions, unless he can show peculiar circumstances in the way of coercion. The only kind of coercion which the law demands as an excuse is coercion by actual force. But if a man chooses to shoot a person because another person threatens him, even with death, the law holds him responsible. It is a man's duty to die rather than commit a crime in that way. A charge of murder will mean death for those in the docks. But you should not shy from the conviction. Should it be said that a lad of 17 years is to be allowed to shoot people simply because he is ordered to do so by some ruffian who has gained some power over him. The position of these young men is pitiable. But you are not here to consider how far the prisoners must be pitied. The question is, are they responsible for their actions? And whether, in course, their conduct shows that they were acting by arrangement. For, even if only one pulled the fatal trigger, if they all had common designs in that act, they are all as guilty.
The jury returning to give their verdict.
On the charge of the murder of Constable Bowen, we find Andrew Scott guilty. Thomas Rogan guilty. Thomas Williams guilty. Graham Bennett, guilty. For the prisoners Rogan, Williams, and Bennett, we recommend mercy.
Thank you, members of the jury each. You are dismissed. Misters Williams and Bennett, in light of your relative youth, the recommendation of mercy is accepted. Your sentences are commuted to prison time. Andrew George Scott and Thomas Rogan. The sentence of this court is that you will be taken from here to the place from whence you came, and there be kept in close confinement until January the 20th, 1880. And upon that day, that you will be taken to the place of execution and there hanged by the neck until you are dead. And may God have mercy upon your souls.
Darlinghurst Jail, 19th January, 1880. From prisoner Andrew G. Scott.
Prisoner Scott.
Alias Moonlight.
Prisoner Rogan.
My dearest Mrs. Nesbit. The mother of James. No colder address would be true. My heart to you is the same as to my own dearest mother. James's sisters are my sisters, his friends my friends. His hopes were my hopes. His grave will be my resting place, and I trust I may be worthy to be with him when we shall all meet, to part no more. When an all-seeing God who can read all hearts will be the judge. My dying wish is to be buried beside my beloved James Nesbit, the man with whom I was united by every tie which could bind human friendship. We were one in hopes, in heart, in soul, and this unity lasted until he died in my arms. His death has broken my heart. Soon now I am to be with him and in his grave. For a marker, rough, unhewn rock would be most fit. One that skilled hands could have made into something better. It will be like those it marks, as kindness and charity could have shaped us to better ends. Mrs. Nesbit, mother of my James, may the great God enable you to bear the great loss you have suffered. I send you some of his hair from a lock I wear by my own heart, and I will try to send you anything else of his I can get. Farewell, my dearest Mrs. Nesbit. I am ever to you a loving son in spirit. Andrew George Scott.
Andrew George Scott and Thomas Rogan were hung on the 20th of January, 1880. The authorities never sent Scott's letters, and despite his wish to be buried with James Nesbit, he was buried near the prison. But 100 years later, historians discovered his final letters in the prison's records. A group of people interested in his story petitioned the government. Despite the odds, after 115 years, permission was given. In 1995, his remains were brought by a horse-drawn hearse to Gundagai Cemetery, where he was finally buried near his beloved, James Nesbit. Today, a memorial marks the site.
So thanks all. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Thanks to our, of course, wonderful actors who've contributed their time voluntarily to the production of this episode and their wonderful work. Thanks to our Patreon supporters who make this all possible and help fund the costs that we have involved. Thanks, of course, to Tom for his scriptwriting contribution. And thanks to Shannon for coming in as our science and tech person and assisting in the acting and putting everything together. We really appreciate it. And thanks to all who've been listening. You're wonderful people.